China is the largest global supplier of key ingredients for medicines and vitamins. Healthcare providers writing prescriptions for antibiotics, antidepressants, actually many drugs, have no clue. So patients taking them don't either. Health Cetera producer Dr. Kenya Beard interviews author Rosemary Gibson on her new book, China Rx, Exposing the Risks of America's Dependence on China for Medicine, an investigative report into the dependence on China for the production of crucial medications.
Kenya, the medicines in the United States are safe, and it's important for your listeners to be assured. The reason I wrote China Rx is to enlighten us, not frighten anyone, and to enlighten us about how dependent we are and how many medicines are coming to the United States and being sold here. Americans are taking medicines made in China by Chinese companies, and they include antibiotics, antidepressants, birth control pills, medicines for Alzheimer's, HIV/AIDS, Parkinson's disease, epilepsy, high blood pressure, and so much more. And these are mostly generic drugs. And that number of generic drugs is just increasing. And so our dependence is going to be increasing. But overall, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration tries very hard to ensure that our medicines are safe. But all this globalization in the supply of our medicines, it makes it really hard to ensure that everything is done the proper way. Even though the FDA tries and companies are supposed to do their due diligence. But there certainly are risks, and those risks have increased.
So I like that you said how your book really is trying to enlighten us rather than frighten us. But I'm wondering if readers will walk away feeling a little less secure about medications in general, especially when you read the opening of your book, and it talks about the people who died from heparin. How was that able to happen? And what are your thoughts on what we're doing to prevent it from happening again?
The heparin tragedy occurred beginning in 2007 and 2008. And according to official reports from the Food and Drug Administration, there are about 250 deaths associated with, turned out to be, contaminated heparin. This is a product that's used in hospitals all over the country. It's used in dialysis centers. And what happened was a U.S.-based company, Baxter Healthcare, has a very big presence here in the United States. In the early 2000s, it switched suppliers for the active ingredient in this blood thinner that's widely used. It used to get it from the United States, but then it switched to a supplier in China. The record shows that Baxter Healthcare did not even inspect the plant in China before buying this key ingredient from that plant, which is really quite remarkable. In any event, in about 2007, there were indications that patients here in the U.S. in dialysis centers and elsewhere were having some really bad side effects. And through a lot of investigation and research by the CDC and the Food and Drug Administration, it was found that it was deliberately contaminated by entities in China, and it was a lethal contaminant, and it was done for economically motivated reasons. The real product had gotten really expensive because there was a shortage, and so they came up with this unique substitute that mimicked the real product, but it turned out to be lethal. And many people died. And I think we don't really know the actual numbers of people who died because it's so hard to know that it was a drug or even trace it back to a bad drug.
So, Rosemary, why would a company intentionally send us a contaminated product?
Here's the situation. Heparin is made from the intestines of pigs. And China has the world's largest supply of pigs. And they can process those intestines more cheaply, and there's also less regulation than there is here in the United States. So what happened was there was a virus that decimated the pig population in China. So what happened, there was a shortage of that raw material to make this really important medicine. And what do you do when you have a shortage? You try to come up with an alternative. Well, they came up with an alternative that mimicked the real ingredient. It had never been tested in humans, and it turned out to be lethal in large quantities. And the real raw material price went up to about $600 a pound, but a fake was only $6 a pound. So it was economically motivated contamination. That's why they did it.
So was there such a gross amount of limited oversight that allowed this to happen for so long and not be checked? And if so, what are we doing today so that doesn't happen again?
Well, this was a terrible tragedy. And as a former FDA official said to me, there was a body count and that triggered attention. And if we look back at all the reforms that have been made in improving the quality of our drugs for the past 100 years, it took a tragedy where people died to get Congress and others to act. So about 4 years after this event, Congress passed new legislation that gave the FDA much more authority to inspect plants in China and other countries. It also gave them the resources to do that. You know, it was shocking to find out that just not 10 years ago, the FDA didn't even have a list of all the plants and companies around the world that were making medicines for us or where they were located and who the leadership is. It didn't have that fundamental information. That's changed now. And so there's lots of improvements. But the reality is that when you have a much longer global supply chain coming from thousands of miles away, that's a lot different from when I'm sure you and I were growing up in the U.S. and the manufacturers were maybe down the Garden State Parkway or a short plane ride away. It's much harder to ensure quality control when the producers are much farther away and also have a different culture, different language, and different history and different experience with making drugs.
And different standards,
I'm sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
So what are some of the things that you found in regards to the standards not being the same as in the States?
Well, it was shocking to find out that for at least 20 years, there were companies in the United States and elsewhere that were buying products, mostly the active ingredients, which give the therapeutic value to medicines we take. Companies were buying active ingredients from plants in China, and they didn't go and inspect them. They didn't really know who was making them. They just outsourced it like they were outsourcing the production of t-shirts and sneakers.
I'm sorry, how can you ensure the quality of the drug that you're producing if you're not investigating and making sure that the standards are being met?
That's a great question. We uncovered a memo written by a very dedicated FDA chemist in 1996, and he said, quote, "We have no idea where these bulk drugs, the active ingredients, are coming from, and they could get to the president." Think of that. Now, companies that purchase these products are supposed to test them, and I've spoke with chemists and others who were involved in that process and still are, and there are some that are very conscientious, but it's variable. But the fact that companies outsource to a country that virtually had no standards. You know, bear in mind, the U.S. has the gold standard for drug manufacturing and oversight. It's an incredible jewel in the crown of what this country has done. But we've basically, through globalization, we've de facto deregulated that process. And it's much harder to assure that what's really going on. And so that's a real challenge for us.
I get that outsourcing is cheaper, but are we also sacrificing quality?
Well, one of the things that we do in China Rx is we highlight what the FDA reports in its warning letters. It goes and visits companies, and if there are really problems, then it writes up what it calls a warning letter. So the FDA went into a plant in China in 2015. This is a company that makes about 29 different drug products for U.S. companies. And the FDA went in because it was getting complaints from presumably its company customers, the ones that were buying product from it. And these complaints pertain to the product not having its full therapeutic value and bacterial contamination and particles in the product. So the FDA went in and they found what they called systemic data manipulation, and they put a ban on 29 of the products from coming into the United States. But Kenya, because we're so dependent on China for these products and this company, the FDA exempted 14 of those products from its own ban because it was concerned about drug shortages here in the United States. And we're talking about antibiotics, chemotherapy, treatment for children and adults with cancer, really important drugs. In fact, the New York Times wrote a story about a shortage of a chemotherapy product. And it was a great story, but the problem was it really didn't do the backstory. And that backstory was that, in part, there was a company in China as a supplier, and the FDA had to slam an import ban on that company's products. That's how dependent we are and the risks that are still out there.
So if we're blocking imports only to turn around and say because the drug is so critical and then lifting bans, how is that helping?
It's a problem. It's a real problem. And here's what else happened. A lot of us have taken penicillin in our lives for various infections. I took a type of penicillin a couple months ago, and this is a miracle drug. But back in the 2000s, there were a number of U.S. and European companies that were making penicillin fermentation. But the last penicillin fermentation plant in the U.S. was up in Syracuse, and it announced it was closing down in 2004. Well, what was going on? Again, another great story in the New York Times, but it didn't provide that backstory. And what was going on then was there were a handful of companies in China China had invested heavily for more than 20 years in building up the capacity to make the core components in many antibiotics. And so about 20 years later, a handful of companies dumped the penicillin raw material on the global market, and the world price plummeted. U.S. and European producers could not compete. Neither could the Indians. They were all driven out of the market. And then the price went up spectacularly. So what's happening is the supply chain, the number of people producing our medicines, appears to be narrowing. And that creates more dependence on a very small number of companies. And certainly China has the goal of becoming the pharmacy to the world. And if it wants to achieve that goal, this will only exacerbate U.S. and even global dependence on a single country. So we're seeing two challenges here. One, still quality issues. At the same time, we're ramping up dependence as we see the centralization of our global supply.
So I know, Rosemary, you said you really want to enlighten and not frighten. However, I'm having a hard time trying to see how they wouldn't be frightened over the fact that if China indeed becomes the pharmacy for the world, how will that impact the health of citizens in the United States?
Well, what it does, Kenya, is we're losing control over the supply of our medicines. We're losing control over who makes them and under what circumstances, and also the price. So it's not a good situation. And China Rx is a wake-up call that we need to do something because it's a public health security issue, a national security issue. And think of all the jobs that have been lost. People that used to do this work, they're out of a job as that work has been outsourced to China.
What do some of the communities look like now as a result of companies having to shut down?
I spoke to people in some of these communities. And for example, I spoke to a real estate agent, and she said it's very, very disheartening. I interviewed a gentleman who had a big insurance company in a town in southeastern Connecticut. And I have a few quotes from him in the book. And he said, the housing values have plummeted. People have left. And then when I called him after the book came out, he says, well, I had to tell you, I had to shut down my business because it was so decimated. So we are bleeding jobs. At the same time, we're losing control of our medicine. You know, you think about the young men and women on the naval vessels in the South China Sea, and you look across at the military buildup in the South China Sea. Effectively, the United States is dependent on an adversary for many of its medicines. That's not a good situation. So I think we do have a very dramatic situation we have to address. That said, there are still thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who go to work every day here in this country and other Western countries and at the FDA to ensure that we have safe medicines every patient, every time. But this really is a wake-up call for all of us.
So are there tougher standards coming down the pike? What should we be looking for as consumers?
You know, as consumers, I think we should look for the right to know where our medicines are being made. Right now, it can be hard to tell where they're made and who's making them.
Why is that?
Because there's just a lack of transparency. There was a proposed legislation about 10 years ago to have country of origin labeling on prescription drugs, but it was killed by the industry. And it's really, I think it's really true that the industry has not wanted us as people, as Americans, to know about this big shift that's taken place and where our medicines are coming from. And that's un-American. We want to know. We want to know where our food comes from. We want to know where our medicines come from. So that's one thing that we need to do. And the second is, and I'm so grateful to you as a journalist for having a program like this where we can alert the public. We're trying to get up on Capitol Hill and do briefings for congressional staff about this because people don't know. People are shocked about the generic drugs that are being made in China by Chinese companies now and the China's goal of becoming the pharmacy to the world. And it will achieve that goal because it's so intent. It has the resources and commitment. And we need to do something about that.
So if I get sick, and I go to my provider and I get a prescription for an antibiotic, how do I know where this or where the critical key ingredient of this drug is really coming from?
There's a couple ways to find out. And we have an appendix in China Rx that gives tips on how you can find that information. The first thing you can do is when you go to the drugstore to pick up a prescription, that is, if you go in person, a lot of people buy them online, you can ask the pharmacist to show you the box. And the box, because a lot of times we get the pills in those amber-colored plastic bottles with the white cap that's hard to open. But you can ask the pharmacist to look at the box and snap a picture with your phone. And sometimes it may say the manufacturer and the country where it was made. And even fewer cases, it could say where the active ingredient was made. The next thing you can do is there's a website that we talk about in the book. It comes from the National Library of Medicine called Daily Med. And you can go on there and look at the labels for the particular drug that you're taking to find, and you may be able to find out where it came from. And the third step is sometimes you can just call the company and they may tell you. Some will not, as we illustrated in the book, but some will.
So what could I do if I called a drug manufacturing company and asked them where they're getting their ingredients from and they refuse to tell me? What can I do after that?
There's no recourse that I can think of. We even went to a pharmacist for a large health system on the East Coast when there was a shortage of a chemotherapy product. And the FDA had an initial ban, but then exempted that particular product from its own ban. And so I asked this pharmacist, do you know where your supplier gets this particular chemotherapy ingredient from? And so I watched her as she called, and this is a health system that spends probably millions and millions of dollars on medicines. And even the manufacturer would not tell her where the product was made. Mm. So we need much more customer orientation, not just at the consumer level, but hospitals that are probably among the biggest purchasers of medicines should have a right to know where their product is coming from.
Sure. In your book, you do talk about the fact that, you know, our drugs in the United States are probably the safest in the world. However, it's concerning when we hear that there are gaps in our system, gaps that allow some manufacturers to sometimes circumvent the process to save money and outsource and not make sure that the places that are making these drugs are following the same standards that you'd have to follow in the States. It's really frightening.
It is. And I think one of the other driving forces is this constant push for cheap. And I think all of us need to, if anybody has any pension funds in, you know, stocks and pharmaceuticals are part of those pension funds, or your 401k, we all want to see our, you know, balances go up. But how does that happen? Well, companies will squeeze the manufacturer. And you can only squeeze so much. And if you keep pushing down on the price, you fall right into the hands of what someone we interviewed called the bottom feeders. Those who cut corners and make it hard for the legitimate good companies to be able to stay in business. And, you know, some of the things that we discovered in looking at some of the FDA inspection reports, there was a plant in China from owned by a major U.S. pharmaceutical company. And the FDA went in and the bathroom had no hand washing facilities and the toilet was an open pit in the floor. And now it's also true that China has some very advanced manufacturing plants that meet or certainly meet the standards of the U.S., but you also need a culture of quality. So if we have to be mindful of the constant pressure on cheap can drive more production to China and some unsavory producers. So we have to be very careful about this, that we don't unwittingly outsource everything. And we've got to get our act together sooner rather than later. I said to an executive of a major generic company, a U.S.-based company, that within 10 years, if we don't do something, China is an existential threat to your business. And they don't disagree.
We are so needy and so at the mercy of another country in regards to medication. Could they use that as leverage?
Absolutely. After the anthrax attacks, you're a New Yorker, you'll remember that. There and in Washington, well, the U.S. military bought doxycycline, an antidote, from a company in Europe that had to get the starting material from China. And when I shared that with someone in the industry, his response was, well, what if China's the anthrax attacker? Control over medicines is a point of leverage. We wouldn't allow any country to control all of our food supply or major commodities. We wouldn't allow a single country to control our supply of oil. We need to think the same way about our medicines. And that's what we hope will be the outcome of China Rx.
Rosemary, I want to thank you for your time and for sharing this wealth of information about medications. Definitely people need to check their medicine cabinet to make sure that the drugs they're taking are safe, and have a conversation as well with their provider. Thank you again.
Thank you, Kenya. Great to be with you.
That was Dr. Kenya Beard speaking with author Rosemary Gibson about her new book, China Rx.